Trailer for sale or rent. Room to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes. I bet 2 hours of pushing broom. By a 8x12 4-bedroom. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train. Destination Bangor, Maine. Old worn out suit and shoes. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all the children, all their names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent, room to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom. By the 8x12 4-bedroom. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. I'm a man of means by no means. A king of the road. I'm Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And this is a Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network, and they put on phenomenal shows, and they keep things going pretty much 24/7, two separate streams of shows all the time, and they deserve your support. So head on over to revolution.radio or to freedomslips.com and show them some love. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests. Julius Alafong, Philip Ferrugio, Frank Cordero, Karen Katowski, and Michael Annis. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Mount Jackson, Virginia, in Denver, Colorado, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and wherever you are. And now my recommended list, commondreams.org. The time for Medicare for All has come. YouTube channel, John Caleb Warren, Astronauts on Wires, published February 26th. It used to be a big deal when the United States attacked another country. We got special theme music and a logo and Dan Rather behind a desk looking like a reporter. At the very least, we knew it was happening. Now we have no idea, and it's happening every day, almost everywhere. Find out just how bad it is. Read Mapping the American War on Terror, informationclearinghouse.info. Also recommended, We Refuse to Create Technology for Warfare and Oppression. Microsoft Workers Demand Company and Army Contract, commondreams.org. Recommended, Wolfgang Halbig Interview by Joseph Yates, YouTube, published February 3rd, 2019. Recommended, How Much Plastic is in the Ocean and Can We Clean It Up? In the Now, published on February 13th, 2019, YouTube. Recommended, Grant Cameron gives us his knowledge on UFOs and aliens and the President of America, YouTube. Recommended, Chris Hedges' recent commentary, Extinction Rebellion. There is one desperate chance left to thwart the impending ecocide and extinction of the human species. We must, in wave after wave, carry out nonviolent acts of civil disobedience to shut down the capitals of the major industrial countries, crippling commerce and transportation, until the ruling elites are forced to publicly state the truth about climate catastrophe, implement radical measures to halt carbon emissions by 2025, and empower an independent citizens committee to oversee the termination of our 150-year binge on fossil fuels. If we do not do this, we will face mass death. The British-based group Extinction Rebellion has called for nonviolent acts of civil disobedience on April 15th in capitals around the world to reverse our one-way track to extinction. I do not know if this effort will succeed, but I do know it is the only mechanism left to force action by the ruling elites who, although global warming has been well documented for at least three decades, have refused to carry out the measures needed to protect the planet and the human race. These elites, for this reason alone, are illegitimate. They must be replaced. It is our sacred duty to rebel in order to protect our homes, our future, and the future of all life on Earth. Extinction Rebellion writes, this is not hyperbolic. We have, as every major climate report states, very little time left. Indeed, it may already be too late. In Britain, Extinction Rebellion has already demonstrated its clout, blocking roads, occupying government departments, and amassing 6,000 people to shut down five of London's bridges last November 17th. Scores of arrests were made, but it was just a warm-up act. In April, the group hopes the final assault will begin. If we do not shake off our lethargy, our enemy, and resist, our misery, despondency, and feelings of helplessness will mount. We will become paralyzed. Resistance, especially given the bleakness before us, is about more than winning. It is about a life of meaning. It is about empowerment. It is a public declaration that we will no longer live according to the dominant lie. It is a message to the elites, you do not own us. It is about defending our dignity, agency, and self-respect. The more we free ourselves from the bondage of fear that throw up barriers along the forced march toward ecocide, the more we will be enveloped by a strange kind of euphoria, one I often felt as a war correspondent documenting horrific suffering and atrocities to shame the killers. We obliterate despair in our acts of defiance. Even if our victories are pyrrhic, we reach out to those around us. Courage is contagious. It is a spark that ignites mass revolt. And we should, even if we fail, at least choose how we will die. Resistance is the only action left that will allow us to remain psychologically whole, and it is the only action left that has any hope of halting the wholesale extinction of the human race, not to mention most other species. The mass actions on April 15th might fizzle out, the crowds might not gather, the public might be apathetic, but if only a handful of us attempt to block a bridge or a road, even if we are swiftly swept away by the police, so swiftly there is not enough disruption to notice, it will be worth it. I am a father. I love my children. It is not about me. It is about them. This is what parents do. Chris Hedges.
Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. Phil writes prolifically and very well, and his publications are all over the internet. Just search on Google for Phil Ferrugio or Philip Ferrugio. That's Ferrugio. And here he is with It's the Empire, Stupid.
Okay. Good evening, working stiffs. Let me give you a little saying that I came up with. There is nothing noble about the super rich, because if they were truly noble, they wouldn't be super rich. So let's talk about money talks. And we suckers walk. Anyone who even occasionally checks current events knows how much money is spent on presidential elections. Each new cycle breaks the previous record and on and on. Well, the buck, no pun intended, doesn't stop there. The total cost of running for A, president, B, senator, and C, House of Representatives in the 2016 cycle reached a total of $6.5 billion. How many roads and bridges could have been fixed and renovated for that money? Let's look at the congressional winners in previous election cycles. In 2008, the winners of House seats spent on average $1.1 million. The winners of Senate seats spent on average $6.5 million. Moving on to 2012, the numbers jumped from 1.1 to 1.6 million and from 6.5 to 10.4 million, respectively. Now, this was candidates running as either Republican or Democrat, not third party. Do you think a third party candidate would ever have a chance? If you do, I still have that bridge in Brooklyn for sale if you want it. Things are so regressed that all news talk shows always refer to election races, mostly close ones in the polls, about how much money each candidate has raised. Hardly ever do they speak about real issues. Of course, on the always forgotten issues of military spending and foreign policy, the two-party, one-party duopoly agree more than not. When a libertarian or true progressive candidate are the only folks speaking on about that horror, no one can hear them. Why? They're hardly on the boob, hardly ever on the boob tube in person or through campaign ads. No money. Boy, the fat cats who run this empire have it down to a science. Keep the duopoly powerful and never give the suckers an even break, as in the 2008 election regarding health care. You see, Obama sounded sincere about wanting Medicare for all and a public option, giving we suckers under 65 a chance to have what senior citizens have, by paying in, of course, but less than in private insurance. Those of us who look beyond the hype and spin knew that his opponent McCain received around $7+ million from the healthcare industries in donations, while Mr. Hope and Change got over $21 million. That's almost three times more. And what we suckers got was Obamacare, which was another way of saying that the private insurance industry got tens of millions of new customers with high deductibles and copays. Bottom line, The only hope for this republic to become what they say we already are, but are not, a democracy, is to have total public funding of all elections. I don't care if it is for dog catcher, no private money in elections, period. Oh, they say we cannot do that due to this 1976 Supreme Court ruling in Buckley versus Vallejo. The court ruled against laws that restricted private money in elections, citing that money is free speech. Really? Maybe they should have stated it as it is. The super rich have lots of free speech. Well, as former Senator Bill Bradley once said, we have many amendments to the Constitution. Why not one more? Folks, sit back and watch another election cycle go by and see how big money runs the show. If working stiffs out there, regardless of labeling themselves as conservative or progressive, if they stop supporting this decayed electoral system, think about that. Thank you.
We have received word that Mark, the most dangerous blogger on the planet and soon to be graduate of Moonrock Lake High School, is about to release his latest column on his website. Moon dust and Cheetos dust are both orange. And now, from his parents' basement, Mark, the most dangerous blogger on Earth and beyond.
While demanding open borders may seem like a marginal position in U.S. politics now, keep in mind that build the wall was on the fringe until recently. The right wing has been audacious in upsetting mainstream sensibilities regarding the treatment of asylum seekers, calling for and enacting through the White House the separation of migrant families and mass detention of migrants, all in highly public ways. We should match and go beyond their boldness in defending the right to migrate as fundamental to humanity. We should be calling for open the borders without apology. A genuine call for open borders is virtually absent from the debate between the White House and Capitol Hill, where the question has not been whether to militarize the border, but merely how many billions of dollars should be devoted to border security. But open borders, it's more than an epithet for the right to attack its opponents with. It's a legitimate position. The left should take it up as the only humane one. It's bitterly ironic that Trump constantly describes migrants in the Central American exodus as an invasion, when the United States has carried out so many actual invasions of that region, operations which bear great responsibility for destabilizing those societies and pushing so many people to come north in the first place. For decades, critics of globalization have pointed out that the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, World Trade Organization, institutions that are shaped and dominated by the United States, have helped create a world where capital moves freely while human beings are stuck at borders. Numerous free trade agreements have accelerated this trend. As asylum seekers at the border confront metal barriers, surveillance drones, and armed guards barring their entry, trucks, trains, and boats bring a high volume of shipping containers into the United States each day. Ports of entry have perfected clearing these goods through customs efficiently, and policymakers have regulated and deregulated international commerce to make the process as easy as possible. If only the people migrating from Central America and elsewhere were commodities instead of human beings, they would enter the United States painlessly, be handled with care by workers who are experts at transferring goods quickly and carefully, and then be transported overnight to all corners of the country through extensive commercial distribution networks. Commercial goods aren't the only things that move freely across borders. The U.S. military carries out operations all over the world with such regularity that it's not even considered newsworthy in the United States. We are living in a time not only of darkness and repression, but also political possibility. Medicare for all, previously a marginalized demand in the United States, though existing in practice throughout much of the world, is now a central demand of mainstream liberal politics. The slogan, "Abolish ICE," first raised by grassroots migrant justice activists and lifted up by the Democratic Socialists of America, has been brought into official U.S. politics and even carried onto Capitol Hill by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The slogan has become so potent that the president and vice president have had to go out of their way to denounce it, something Trump did again in the most recent State of the Union. Systems and governments that invest tremendously in perfecting the movement of commerce and violence across borders while investing at similar scale to stop the movement of people aren't simply being hypocritical. They're also violating a fundamental human right. People have the right to move freely. Human migration and migration particular to the Americas predates the United States or its borders. Indeed, many of the people coming north from Central America are indigenous, belonging to groups of people whose history stretched far before that of the U.S. nation state. The right to freedom of movement becomes only more important as growing numbers of people become uprooted and displaced. Conflict over control of the planet's resources, economic policies that devastate people the world over, and climate change, which creates more disasters and makes parts of the world uninhabitable for everyday life. Well, these are all increasing. With those dynamics, the responsibility of governments to honor people's freedom to move only grows too, as does that of ordinary people to defend that right. Meanwhile, the majority of people in the United States oppose Trump's wall, and 3/4 of Americans recently told pollsters they think immigration is a good thing. These facts, evidence of a complicated political terrain, but one that has much progress for progressives and the left, show why supporting border security rather than centering the rights of migrants in the conversation about migration is not only wrong, it's out of step with a progressive trend in U.S. politics.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Coming up in the next half hour, we'll hear from Frank Cordero in Des Moines and Karen Katowski in Mount Jackson, Virginia. Please stay tuned to Revolution Radio, the listener-sponsored alternative to the lies presented elsewhere, day in and day out.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now for another episode of Professor Rutherford P. Roswell's Conspiracy Corner. We find Professor Rutherford P. Roswell sitting at home, getting ready to begin his weekly podcast from his basement, Imitation Cedar Panel Man Cave. He has his computer and his headset and professional-looking microphone with the fireplace glowing in front of him and his English setter, Apollo, lying on the carpeted floor. Feet straight in the air, sound asleep. Professor Roswell checks the time on the computer, sips his drowsy time tea, swivels in his chair and draws the Crown Royal single malt from the glass case, turns back, sprinkles a dash into the tea, and sets the bottle on the floor near his feet. All around on the walls hang dusty photos of Roswell and the important people he has interviewed over the decades. He receives an email notification from the network telling him the show will start soon. 5, 4, 3, 2. And now with your host, Professor Rutherford P. Roswell, it's time again for Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and fall slowly asleep. Sleep, sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk. Sleep, sleep. Drowsy time tea. Forget about it. And sleep. You. Stop whatever it is that you are doing because it doesn't really matter. As long as the persistent lie about the JFK, RFK, and MLK murders persists in this country, nothing you do, working out, going to work, eating, sleeping, talking, none of it matters. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. None of it matters. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to all. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get right to it, shall we? It's true. It's all true, the conspiracy theories. I have to sit back, even me, and try to comprehend what that means even after all these years. Anyone who believes in the latest fairy tale, Santa Fe, must also believe in Rudolph, Mrs. Santa, and the elves. It's all fake, a big hoax, such a gigantic lie, this life. I really don't think I can put my head around it, even yet, as they say. I'm trying. It means wow. Just wow. Words can't really describe it. I can tell you that your newspapers are controlled and your television news, but those are just words. It's different, much different to stop and actually realize what that is. I can tell you that your government is more like a mafia organization than a government, but Bobby Kennedy, 50th anniversary. We still hear on the TV and the newspapers and radio about Sirhan Sirhan. Nothing of the evidence compiled in those 50 years by unpaid, real journalists who could, would, and have been telling us. But still, we hear the lie broadcast loud and clear for 50 years, right in front of us. Folks, the emperor has no clothes, not a stitch. He's been naked for 50 years and more, and yet something so important to our lives, to everything, will not and cannot be mentioned out loud in the cafe, in church, in the kitchen, in America. And so we know it's all true. What is all true? That it's all contrived. It's really much worse than we can imagine, than we dare to imagine. But I think we should try. I think we'd all be better served by silence than by another heaping helping of information tonight.
Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea. Because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Forget about it and just sleep. Our next guest for the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, and the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Frank is a former Catholic priest and former prisoner, county jail, federal prison, fighting against the U.S. military machine. And right now we're going to hear the conversation between Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, we ready to take off on this reflection?
You bet. Go for it.
Well, I wanted to try out an article that I'm working on for the next Via Patches. It's called Americanism, and let me bring it up. And I just thought I'd try it out and listen to it as I speak it to see if it makes any sense. So it's entitled Americanism, the single most threatening ism on the planet. So here it is. I got a Facebook post February 17th, remembering the anniversary of the U.S.-led one-day massacre in 1991. That killed over 1,000 disarmed, retreating Iraqi soldiers. I shared the post with the below note. It was a war crime then. It still is. Only we can't keep up remembering because so many other U.S.-led war crimes keep happening. Just like mass gun killings in the U.S., one after the other, it's all now the new normal, end of quote. We don't really remember war crimes. The best we can do is just list them. This should be a problem for any Christian in the U.S. The core of our faith in Jesus is based on our ability to remember him. In the breaking of the bread, in the serving of the poor. Remembering him in today's America means being a peacemaker in a total war culture, living lives devoted to making things right for all who suffer unjustly, one person at a time. We Americans can't follow Jesus and be pro-rich, pro-war, and pro-USA at the same time. Los Angeles Catholic Worker Jeff Dietrich wrote many years ago that us baby boomers must commit middle-class suicide if we are to follow Jesus. When we are up against, what we are up against is the newest version of what St. Paul called the powers and principalities. Americanism is as measurable as racism, sexism, classism, and all the other isms that plague the human race. Only in Americanism, we are so extreme in our destructive behavior, unique and singular, unlike any other time in human history, that our very existence as Americans is the problem. In our post-World War II atomic bomb era, the human race and life forces on the planet are at risk like at no other time, not by God, not by nature, but by our own hands. This is a first in the human experience. Americanism exists because the U.S. has almost complete control and dominance of the systems of death by its overwhelming global military superiority and our continued dominance of the global financial systems. 70 years into this new and perilous human predicament, we Americans have morphed beyond the military and financial systems. Now we, the planet, have organized our human systems needed to feed our most basic human needs like food, water, health, and education based on the same lines and systems that are killing the planet. And it's a nightmare reality. A book of Revelation proportions. A global pyramid scheme as old as Pharaoh's empire. As murderous as the Romans in Jesus's time. Only now, it's total. It's global. It's imminent, in parentheses, minutes away by the A-bomb, end of parentheses, and inevitable, in parentheses, with a generation or two, by just living our modern lives as we are and killing the environment. New paragraph. As a member of the U.S. baby boomer generation, I am painfully aware we have lived our whole lives off the ill-got gains of World War II and the U.S. empire that followed. There is no more identifiable elite group of human beings more responsible for the destruction of the planet than we American baby boomers. The human race is killing the planet. Every fourth grader knows it. And we Americans are the most responsible for this reality. Yet, we are the least able to see this truth about ourselves. Of all the isms we suffer in this culture of extremes, Americanism is the most dangerous because it's the most denied. Yep. That's what I'm going to put in the next Via Pacis.
Well, Frank, thank you for letting us have the scoop.
Still no responses from the thousands.
That's the silent masses, you know.
The silent masses, yes, the moral majority.
Yeah.
Oh, Nixon wanted those. Yeah, but what did it do to him? Okay,
yeah, really.
Enough said. Oh, and as for the national soap opera, oh my God, they're closing in on the guy. I hope he goes to jail. But you know, it's all fabricated, and I still, you know, you got to be real cautious. We're talking the FBI is the hero here. That's a problem. It's a big problem.
Those words don't seem to go in the same sentence. But
no. But these are such wacko times. These are such wacko times.
Indeed. All right. Indeed. Thank you so much, right. Frank. Talk to you next week. Thing.
Bye-bye.
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 And now for another episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Buddy is patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. He's sitting in a grove of trees, can't see a thing. He's on Twitter, on his phone, chatting with the Kremlin. Every once in a while, he has to go stop somebody, but then it's back to the trees and Twitter. He says he believes he needs to stay in constant contact. On his day off, Buddy goes into Walmart and walks behind people in the store, dropping stuff they don't want into their cart. And when they get to the checkout, they just pay for the stuff anyway, even though they don't remember putting doggy chew toys and pink flamingo lawn ornaments into their cart. They just pay for them and haul them out along with the chicken and the biscuit and the pit bull chow out to the RV as Buddy goes off in search of his next victims. Buddy is a Russian spy. Stay tuned for next week's episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle, sponsored by Lemon Fresh Borax, also sponsors of On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner. The view from my Piroshki card. When your dogs tell you that the Russians pooped in the hallway while you were at work, we're there for you. protecting the homeland, Lemon Fresh Borax in the fading yellow box. Our next guest of the show is Karen Katowski. Karen Katowski is a retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force. She was stationed in the Pentagon on the day of 9/11. She's also a writer and a radio show host. You can find her writings at lourockwell.com. And right now we're going to attempt to contact Karen Katowski in Mount Jackson, Virginia.
Hello.
Well, hello, Karen. It's Chuck and Mike, the new American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, as usual, I want to talk about the news and what it might mean and not mean. And it seems like we have a lot of things going on that seem dangerous in the sense of, peace isn't happening. The president could be, is a bad guy, could be impeached. Israel's prime minister, Netanyahu, got charged with a bunch of stuff today. And, these are unsettling kinds of things that challenge our so-called leaders and our so-called faith in government. And at the same time, we're not paying attention to while we listen to watch Cohen, the lawyer, former Trump's lawyer, outline all of his opinions and evidence for crimes and all this other stuff. It's very titillating and it's dominating the news. And Trump's in North Korea and he doesn't get a deal, and it's wow, we have all this bad stuff. But what we're not, while we're looking at all this, we're not seeing a whole bunch of other things that are really, at least to me, foreboding and just fundamentally dangerous that we're not talking about at all. And, people have their different opinions, but, we've got this, our government borrows over $1 trillion a year, has been doing this for many, many years and continues. A pace under Trump, of course. And what does it do with this money? Well, it does a lot of different things. It builds its own credibility network. The federal government has money, gives to the states and gives to people and, reallocates, and it does that, and that's what governments do. But it's borrowed this money on the future, on kids that aren't even born yet and may never be born, really. But nobody seems scared. Nobody wants to talk about it. Periodically, the idea of this debt becomes a hot issue for a very short amount of time, and then they put it back to bed. That's not a concern. All this borrowed money that can't be paid back because the people and the productivity just doesn't exist to pay it back. So, it'll be written down. But what are they doing with that money? Well, they're making wars with that money. And we're not hearing anything about it in American media. We have, we see Trump and there's a lot of focus, and the Democrats are really missing an opportunity here. They really hate Trump. Get it. I get that. They really despise him and they want to get rid of him and they want to ridicule him and hold and tie his hands as maximum possible. And that's actually what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to tie the president's hands. And they do that simply by following the Constitution and doing their job, which our Congress hasn't done. But so I'm all for them doing that, tying his hands and trying to be a Congress. But they're doing nothing to stop all these wars. In fact, our Congress is funding, more and more wars. And we can talk about the ones we've been doing, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria. There's the war in Yemen that we've been aiding and abetting for a number of years now, with zero reporting about that. And then there's a movement to say, we shouldn't be doing that in Yemen because it's really not. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody knows where Yemen is. We have no dog in that fight, but other than selling arms, I guess. And so the House goes ahead and finally does what Congress is supposed to do and says, we condemn this. We don't want to do this Yemen thing. And what does the Senate do? Well, the Senate says, yeah, we do. We want to do the Yemen thing. Okay. Well, so there's our government. It's not just Trump. In fact, Trump is trying to get us out of Afghanistan. He's trying to pull troops from Syria. He's trying to end this thing in Iraq. I'm not sure what he, I think I would like to think he's trying to get out of Yemen. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing, but I know the Congress isn't doing, you know, they're being very deceptive, really. They say, well, we want to assert ourselves. We want to make this country better. And part of that is to restrain Trump, who they don't feel is a competent president. But when it really comes down to what this country does for a living, we've been doing it for 20 years. We've been doing it for 50 years. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. They keep doing it. And the Congress plays along with this. The House and Senate play this game. And the American people are just like, it seems like it's almost dizzying what we're being told, what we're being force-fed, what we're being, what's being put into our heads, and we're not thinking, we're not looking at the broader picture, which is, you know, this empire, because that's what all these wars and all that borrowing is about, and the very strong, super strong, tyrannical president, that's what an empire looks like. We are one, we've been one. And it's in advanced decay. It's over, okay? The American empire is actually, for all intents and purposes, over, but it doesn't know it yet. And so what's facing the people who call themselves Americans, who believe in a constitution, or at least were acculturated to accept our form of government, what we are in for as residents and even participants in this collapse of empire. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about what happens when debt isn't paid. Nobody's talking about what happens when the biggest industry you have collapses, and that's the defense industry. It collapses because the debts aren't being paid and because no one takes the United States seriously as an invader anymore. And seriously, I mean, 20 years in Afghanistan, oh, we lost that one. Long time ago. So the rest of the world isn't as blinded as I think a lot of Americans are. And so, you know, it's just like, you know, you see guys who think they're expert at something, but really everybody knows they're not. That's how the world looks at the American empire. It's over. And yet we're not talking about it. We're listening to Cohen yak on about stuff that happened in lawyer speak, and he's mad at Trump. And we got to listen to this. I mean, It is so much noise, and I just really wonder. I wonder, I have faith, I think, in people in this country who have common sense, but, you know, there's something really, really wrong here, and it's not, doesn't have anything to do with with Trump, and it doesn't have anything to do with Cohen and all these various crimes that the government commits, these small petty crimes. There are major problems. As the empire collapses, and it's been doing it for a little while, it's like a snowball. It's going to collapse more rapidly as time goes on. And that collapse is going to impact every person in this country, both emotionally, psychologically, and economically. So, and nobody's talking about it. So anyway, I'm just curious. I don't know. Maybe I'm off, but, this is a question. Serious question. Why are we not talking about, why aren't we, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, everybody who's out there, why aren't we addressing this overarching major issue, the death of empire, the end of the American empire? It's a good thing. We should be welcoming it, and we should be profiting from it. And I don't mean financially, but if that's there too, but we should be profiting as morally from the end of empire, but we're not even talking about it. So I wonder how many people are going to wake up one day and be shocked. I won't be, but anyway, that's my thoughts.
Well, I think many of our fellow Americans, as it were, prefer to do the ostrich thing. They basically just pretend something isn't happening. They put their head in the sand and maybe it will go away. I know it won't go away, and you know it won't go away, and deep down they may even know it won't go away, but they'd still rather pretend it will.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's to waking up from that dream, if it can be done.
Absolutely so.
Wake up.
Karen, thank you. That was a very interesting commentary, and I think very accurate. And, you know, we always appreciate having you here on the show.
Yeah, I hate to be depressing, but I guess it's a little bit of a depressing perspective I have this week.
Sometimes it's okay to be depressing. Yeah, this was a good occasion for that.
Okay, good, good.
Thank you so much, Karen. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay. Talk to you next month. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneier will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
February is Heart Month.
every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Michael Annis. Michael Annis is the executive editor of Howling Dog Press in Denver, Colorado. He's a poet and an activist. And right now we're going to attempt to contact Michael Annis in Denver, Colorado.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. It's Chuck and Mike, the new American Dream radio show, and you're on the air.
Well, hi, Chuck. Hi, Mike. It's good to be back on the new American Dream radio show. Tonight, I'm going to do part five of Ab initio, ab initio, which translated from the Latin loosely means from the beginning. And I'm going to dedicate part five to my oldest son, Dylan, who died in this date, February 28th of 2001. Ab initio, ab initio. A geography of shadows forming the womb of human procession, the wraith of pseudo-hierarchy, injecting all with human ego, joining humans to humans into a hierarchical orgasm. This evolutionary transcendence, more than the sum of human lives, human skin calloused and leathered from grinding against human skin, human phonemes driven apart, welded together, forming the language of DNA, human scorch, human homo Christos in transcendence of the sapiens, whose parts are nests within nests, ovum within ovum, sweat seducing sweat, whose progenitors slink backwards through stations of the double cross, its orthodoxies, its fundamental Catholicisms, its Zen dogmas, its word in the ear of upper echelon initiates, its prophets for profit, its divine rights of kings, its organs of pseudo-regeneration, psychic snakes slithering out from the swamp of alien memes, its exploitation, predation, and control to erase the human spirit while ensuring the hierarchy remains all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-imprisoning, as if a tumor embedded deeply within a human skull, giving orders to its human host to dance the dance of St. Vitus. The artist creates murals of human resurrection churning through the interrelated space-time frequencies of the universal psyche. Hands across the faces, hiding the future. Hands hiding the faces, disintegrating into dirt-crusted windows of time. Shades of the skin's nakedness, its sickness revealed on the feast table of death. Shards of the sickness of skin blending the palate of human futility, the palate of the tongue lying to the past, lying to the present, lying to the future. The ulterior universe, disembodied paradigm, disparalleled to that which is imagined interior in the human souls. Brain halves at war for control. slay for possession of psyche, lay waste to spirit and scrotum. Must mean something, chides God, chained to existence. Rusting crucifix of Homo sapiens, death camp, open graves, imperial conquest, eternity, infinite regressions, warring hemispheres, brain halves, prostituting personality, dominance, loops, deceiving eyes, forming symbols, infinity. How many twisting suicides? Left brain monitoring right brain, chewing holes in the barbed wire, shard glass and concrete barriers dividing them, gnawing its way through the autonomic authorities of the left brain death camp, digging tunnels of escape, wormholes of liberation. The war is internal. Humanity in vitro. Humanity perched on the high wire of surreal fantasy. Balance pole in hand. Hand of the tool on the throttle. Right hand controlled by left brain. Modulated by left hand controlled by right brain. Right step exactly placed in front of left step exactly placed in front of right step exactly placed in front of left step with the vacuum of space and time falling into eternity below. The plunge that ceases to cease. Have woven the tapestry of history, clandestine codex of negative space. Jaws open, awaiting each life dissolving into the abyss of forgotten I am. Masturbation of corpses have woven the tapestry of history, the clandestine codex of retrograde space, jaws open, each awaiting each life dissolving into the abyss of forgotten I am. Masturbation of corpses weaving the tapestry of history, clandestine codex of negative nest of humanity, with arrogance, tyranny. With tyranny, disconsolation. With disconsolation, rebellion. With rebellion, reenactment. With reenactment, tyranny. With disconsolation, tyranny of rebellion. With tyranny of rebellion, nest of humanity. The barbed wire tangled prison of perfected pretense, locked by pretense into pretense. Smell and stench of ridicule fomenting the meme of human hierarchy, primevally dreaming the transcending humanscape reincarnated genes. The vacuous words rumbling, recurring, frantic, vacuous words rumbling, roaring, ricocheting through our skulls. Love and sex and death, Christ and devil and priest, God and merciless grief and strife and greed, and all the cunts of the world, and all the pricks, hoes and johns, unnamed, named, named, unnamed, liberation, propaganda, anguish, democracy and republic, God save and democratize the republic. God save and democratize the world. The words heat in mountainous piles. The deaths and miseries. The weepings and wailings and gnashings of teeth. Always of the innocent, downtrodden outcasts and eternally victimized born unborn. Tectonic plates heaving from the weight of human blood spilled into suffering. Tectonic plates of the skull rupturing from war and disease. Munitions, armaments, fracturing and fractaling from pesticides and homicides and raping sex, sodomizing the earth into a vast landfill, then swarming out through the generations as human signature and thumbprint. And then, from the smoke and mirrors of language, from smoke, this pyramid, architecture, right-brained herders, gypsies, nomads, carrying nothing but their voices and thumb symbols, at one with the deserts, at one with the barren homes of earth, the rocky shores of streams and the sandy beaches of the sea, at one with their blood writing myths, beatific legends, and the voices of angels within their souls. And then, from smoke, this pyramid, reprise, re-inseminate, rebirth, with gypsy blood spilling from the warm brick, contagion ripens. Architectural state of stasis, pooling and languishing, churning oil seeping from the fetid earth, gives rise to the most heartless, laughable, patently absurd procession of dead words, shackling thought to bow and shudder under the whip of holy writ, in quotes. Given Mormonism's embrace of the biotechnological post-human paradigm as the most powerful modem of radically producing Superman, could a man like Mitt Romney, with the necessary hubris and financial resources, be uniquely qualified to realize the outrageous goal of incarnation into flesh of that diabolical brother of Jesus and end times leader of the New World Order, the devil? Time will tell, and whether a Mormon will ride in on his white horse in 2016 or 2020 or 2024 to save the U.S. Constitution will also soon be known. End quotes. Thomas Horn, Zenith 2016. Time will tell. Ugh. What time will tell is of landscapes rife from here to some nondescript and indistinct unending terror-trapped horizon overflowing with unmarked graveyards as sordid religious grotesqueries fill the genetic chalice with holier-than-thou, mean-spirited, anthropogenic, moribund, tick-toxic poisons creating destinies livid with failure either to live or to understand any sense of salvation, liberty, autonomy, or individuality. Affirmative, Burroughs snickers to himself, dragging five-toed oars to the shoreline. Those shotgun holes in the churning corpse of humanity remind me of galaxies kicking madly just above the shark's jaws in the placid waters of creation.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Chuck.
We, you know, we always appreciate you having a reading on our show, and hey, we'll talk to you next month.
Okay. Good to be back.
Again.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Our next guest of the show is Julius Oliphant. Julius Oliphant joins us each month from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Julius sends this along. This show is made up of two sections. In the first, I am analyzing the 23 February general elections in Nigeria. The second part is about the ongoing crisis in Cameroon and how a non-governmental organization with the name Action for Community Development is trying to assist the internal displaced women and girls living out of their homes to fully fit into their new environments. The coordinator of the organization presents their mission and how they need for us to help them in fundraising. And now Julius Oliphant speaking from Cameroon.
Chuck, Mike, and our listeners, good evening. This time around, I will be dwelling on the general elections that took place in Nigeria. That was on the Saturday, the 23rd of February, and how it has been going on and how Nigerians themselves have received the result, which the incumbent is President Buhari is tantamountly coming out as the victor. But before going back, before talking about the elections, let's dwell into the history of Nigeria. You know, Nigeria has been a military state, a state where only coup d'etats have been enabling the change at the helm of the state, you know, from one military general to the other. And Buhari himself, who is now president as a civilian, once carried out a coup d'etat in 1983. When he was president for a term and was also dethroned through another coup by another, but I think that was General Babangida. So it is in 1998 that Nigeria put an end to this military dictatorship or military coup that was used to take over power. And the first president, when that agreement was put in place, Nigeria was termed the Fourth Republic. And the first civilian president of the Fourth Republic, who was also a military general that carried a coup in the early 70s, was Olusegun Obasanjo. This time around, he wore the clothing of a civilian and became the first president of Nigeria. But you know, Nigeria is a highly ethnic divided society, primarily between two big ethnic groups, that is the Muslims and the Christians. The South is made up of the Christians, you have the Igbos and the others, and the North, you have the Muslims. So that's why during most elections in Nigeria, there has been a lot of bloodshed. Bloodshed because the Muslims don't want the Christians to take over. The Christians don't want the Muslims to take over. So because of religion, Nigeria's politics has highly been characterized by religious conflict, bloody religious conflict or violence, if we can put it that way. Then there was a gentleman agreement between the North and the South, to the point where it was agreed that if this first two mandates, because first of all, the mandates were limited, that after two terms, you must go. Like in the United States, not like in Cameroon, where we have a life president. So when Obasanjo did his two terms, he wanted to modify the constitution to seek for a third bid. But the Senate of Nigeria didn't allow that go through. And an end was put to that approach of ever modifying the constitution for a third bid. So from that time, Nigerians have been having a change at the helm of the state, which according to Samuel Huntington, the American political scientist, if a state has had two successive changes at the helm of state, peaceful successive changes at the helm of state, then that state could be called or could be termed a democracy. So Nigeria is a democracy, but the Zambian political scientist Tamdika Kamdawe calls choiceless democracies. Choiceless democracy because embracing democracy for most post-colonial African states was something that came from the top, not from the bottom, not from the people. So the rules are set by the top. So with the past elections of last Saturday, President Buhari, who won election in 2011, won again for the second term. No, that was 2015, sorry. Was it 2015? I think 2014. I'll check on it. So he won. But if we could analyze this, it falls within what some people call the power of incumbency. We've discovered that, or throughout my own personal research, I've discovered that it's very difficult to beat an incumbent president. I think that's the reason why Americans also limited their mandate after President Franklin Delano Roosevelt won fourth time successively as the president of the United States. So Americans saw that it is impossible, or let me say very difficult, to oust an incumbent president. I think that's the main reason why election mandates are limited. But people have been crying of fraud and election rigging, especially the opposition, who claim that Buhari rigged elections to be worse. But that's the malady of African societies, African democracies, probably because the elections organizing mechanisms themselves are not properly arranged, they are not clear, and there are many things that makes make elections not to be classified as credible and transparent elections, not acceptable by all. But we wish them the best because at least a change at the helm of the state gives hope for those who think they can be president tomorrow. That was the first segment of this presentation. Very importantly, I have come in contact with an organization known as Action, or Define, or they call the Action for Community Development. It's a Cameroonian-based NGO, and coordinated by a lady who is a specialist in gender and development, an anthropologist. And with the ongoing crisis in the English-speaking parts of Cameroon that began in 2016 with the demands of the teachers and the lawyers, we have situations today where we have more than 500 civilians have been killed in this region, according to the United Nations Human Rights Commission statistics. We have 30,000 of them, of these Cameroonian displaced people as refugees in Nigeria, with 4/5 being women and children. And children are in such a precarious condition to the point where they live in the bushes. Some don't feed well. Some are dying every day. Women are giving birth in the bushes. And internally in Cameroon, that is in the Francophone speaking part of Cameroon, we have more than 75,000 internally displaced persons, with over 437,000 Cameroonians who, from the English speaking part, who have fled their villages and are living in the different parts of Cameroon. And these people really need help. They need help because with the ongoing crisis in Cameroon, the government itself is unable to cater for these people. So this organization is trying to empower these children, these displaced people, and we have to have the coordinator talk to us. Her name is Miss Donita. She's going to just briefly talk about the organization Janet, and let's see if the American New Dream or our radio could help us raise some funds for them, so that they could help, especially women who are the most delicate people in our society today, those who have fled their homes from the war regions and are living in the English and the Francophone speaking part. Thank you, Ms. Donita. So tell us more about your organization and tell us exactly what you want to do with your organization called Actions for Community Development.
Julius, Chuck, and Mike, thank you for inviting me to talk about the activity we're planning to do. Just as Julius earlier said, living as an internally displaced person is not easy, first of all, because these young girls are English-speaking and are now living in French-speaking zone. And so they have a lot of difficulties. First of all, the language, and then some of them have found refuge in homes that might not be very comfortable to them once you're displaced. And so we have been thinking of how, in our own way, we as in our organization could help these internally displaced girls. And this idea came into my mind, especially when I heard bike riders and taxi drivers, the way they talk about them, like they can easily get them, have sex from them because they are vulnerable. I started thinking of what we could do for them. And so we decided to have like a workshop where we would talk to them about, we would talk to them on drug use, pregnancy, HIV/AIDS, and other sexually transmitted diseases prevention, how they can prevent all of those. And then we would have them, we'll have some people talk to them on gender-based violence in relation to corruption. And then we're going to take time and train them on the creation of small businesses, because some of them might have the opportunity to do a business or start up something that can help them.
Okay, that means you're trying to empower them financially and intellectually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for those who have not had the opportunity to go to school, we will try to like train them how to start up a small business, even if we don't have the means, but at least they should have the knowledge so that when the means is there, we can assist them. And then for those who are opportune to go to school, we have Chantal, who is our mental health personnel. She's going to be working with us to help those who have any issues with depression or whatsoever. And then we are going to have educationists who are going to orientate those who are students on how they can manage their educational life and how they to help them as students. So in all, What we are doing is helping them live better, even out of home.
All right. Thank you so much, the coordinator for Actions for Community Development. Chuk, I think we really have to help this organization so that they could better take care of these children, of these women who are internally displaced, who are, as she said, they are more vulnerable in this other part of the country. And we fear they can get unwanted pregnancies, diseases, because they lack empowerment. I think we have to do this even the next week to raise more awareness to see if we can have some fundings for them. Thank you, Chuk. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for our listeners. And I'll be back next month. Bye-bye.
Some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is also brought to us by Razor Wire Dental Floss. It's good for you, really. Crisis Actors of the Homeland. Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and so much more. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with this message. Let me put it this way. Well, 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis. The entire Washington swamp has been since 9/11 accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. And in the parallelogram office, we find President Cosmo Nutt at his big desk, working hard on his big, clean, yellow legal pad, drawing pictures of dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. Because of the government shutdown, the White House hot tub was warm at best. The sidewalks were getting shoveled only halfway. The military was only allowed to kill some people, not everybody, and the police had to beat people over the head with Nerf batons. Because of the government shutdown, the people's tax dollars did not go for war, that's too far, but for the children in the schools on the poor side of town. Because of the government shutdown, there's nobody in the office that makes young people sign up for the military in order to have a life in America. Because of the government shutdown, the planes flying over the stadium before the big game are made of paper mache. Because of the government shutdown, Ricardo the space cat, Buzz the space dog, Slappy the house alien, Jews the limo driver, Rusty the patsy, Mama Pajama, Jemima the MK Ultra trainer, the child left behind, and Skip the construction worker self-taught on YouTube demolition expert, all did not have to work today. So they slept in, and then they flew kites on the lawn and went for a walk together and sat with the protesters by the front gate. Really did not miss the government at all. And because of the government shutdown, well, actually, that's just an excuse. But then again, all he really needs is an excuse. That's exactly what he's looking for. President Cosmo Nutt realizes this as he stands on the balcony, an excuse to be a painting on a wall, some reason that somebody can use to paint his picture and slap it on the wall of a big bank building in Bemidji. FDR had his fireside chats, Kennedy his moon speech, Obama had his program, Every Town Gets a Shooting, actually based on the Kennedy moon model. Well, now President Cosmo Nutt is going to get his because he got an idea. Actually, somebody found it written on the back of a receipt blowing across a Walmart parking lot and sent it to him in case it might be important. Well, but it's his now, goddammit. The Yeah, It Is tour. President Nutt and Imelda Nutt and many of the staff are going to travel around the country and make a super big deal about all the historical sites that some people are making fun of and maybe write their names in new cement and make sure everyone doesn't start to really think they're stupid. They might invite Oprah and Ken Burns, Rachel Maddow, Wolf Blitzer, and Dan Rather along. Make sure everyone takes it real serious. Back it up! Back it up! No! 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 And the arguing goes on for a while between certain parties about whether to take a truck or a motorcade or the helicopter or Air Force One Well, somebody already has a moving van coming across the front lawn, and now it's stuck. Well, they get on the road eventually, and it's a little bit of this and that. The staff board the bus, and President Nutt and Imelda climb aboard Air Force One. The first stop is the new national park at Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Air Force One lands, not in Shanksville, someplace else, preceded by a decoy, an Amish horse and carriage just now entering the on-ramp for I-495. The bus is already there in the parking lot for the National Memorial. Everyone is getting ready for the big visit. A speaking platform is set up a long way from where the crowd will be. The planners wanted the crowd close to the snack bar, since the National Memorial uses those funds for memorial handout stuff, and that's where that was, and the platform, well, that's where that was. So, yeah. The President Nutt gripped the railing to haul himself up the steps of the speaking platform to stand behind the podium to address the crowd. He waved to them, saw their waving, heard their cheers. Yeah, it is. I'm afraid so. Yeah, it is, folks. That's the way it is. If you don't believe it, you're stupid for doing that. The President Nutt began his speech. Todd Beamer, Mark Bingham, yes, they did all that stuff that one day. And look. At that gash in the ground, wow, where all the bodies went into and the plane. And, you know, over there is where later the FBI scattered the debris. And now we have this. He raised his fist, made his face go red. Wow. God bless America. More waves and cheers. Let's stroll. Rock and roll, no parole, goal, hole, coal, knoll, pole, soul. These words all rhyme with roll. Waves, cheers. Jay and the Good Americans sang most of the words to the Star Spangled Banner to the tune of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And the local crop duster club did a flyover, and it was, everyone go and buy one snack, and then we're out of here. The itinerary of the Yeah, It Is tour included a viewing of moon rocks in some museum, the Paul Wellstone Memorial in northern Minnesota, the Sixth Floor Museum in Dallas, the bulldozed lot of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where the Bushes, where the sniper were gone right away the next morning, the bulldozed lot of the former Sandy Hook School in Connecticut, cleaned up rubble of the World Trade Center, where the Murrah Building used to be at one time in its existence, the now flat area near Waco, Texas, where the FBI demolished 76 people, men, women, and children, by burning them and then bulldozing everything with camo bulldozers with American flags. Or where the plane at one time went through a small hole into the side of the Pentagon, leaving no trace of an airplane. Standing on the coast of Maine, looking out at the ocean, where in the ocean, Osama bin Laden's body was dumped. Back to the White House, to where the podium was on that one day, and now someone's whacking the floor, so let's stand over here and look at where President Obama, whose name rhymes with Osama, really, really, seriously, told us that Osama bin Laden had been buried at sea just yesterday. Yesterday? Yes. Yesterday. And that's pretty much it, said the guy who was planning the whole thing when the bus arrived back in Washington, and then he hopped down the steps and left. Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Thinking the Unthinkable by Solomon Sendak, Moon Rock Lake. Letter to the editor, to the Moon Rock Lake Wednesday Miracle. There are things we don't or can't understand. A reasonable man, a healthy man, a sane man, when he encounters the inexplicable, forgets about it. Maurice Minifield, Northern Exposure. Where was I on moon landing day? July 20, 1969, a Sunday. They say the lunar landing module Eagle touched onto the moon at 3:18 p.m. Central Time in the Sea of Tranquility. Neil Armstrong announces, "The Eagle has landed." Mission Control erupts. The crowd goes wild. Would have been between 8th and 9th grades, probably out playing baseball at Central Park. Probably was holding a ball glove, standing in the living room watching our little black and white TV, wanting to get back to the game, but not wanting to miss this. Probably I went back to the game and came home for supper, getting settled in for Lassie, the FBI, the wonderful world of Disney, the Ed Sullivan Show, Bonanza. I really don't remember. But we probably all stayed up late to watch the first step on the moon at about 10 p.m. Central. Maybe we sat in a semicircle in chairs in the living room, eating ice cream on TV trays. That's a pretty good bet. That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, said Neil Armstrong. Magnificent desolation, said Buzz Aldrin. Michael Collins drove the getaway vehicle, Apollo 11, waiting for Aldrin and Armstrong to return with their heist, rocks, dust. In January 1969, Joe Namath had led the Jets over the Colts, and Richard Nixon entered the White House, and the Beatles gave their last public performance. The Battle of Hamburger Hill was fought in May. In August, the Manson murders took place in Los Angeles. Woodstock happened in upstate New York. In September, the Chicago 8 went on trial. In October, Walmart incorporated as Walmart Stores, Inc. The Mets won the World Series. November gave us Sesame Street and the My Lai Massacre. In December, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were murdered in Chicago. In 68, Martin and Bobby had died. I believed in it all. Lock, stock, and barrel. I wanted to be a New York Yankee or a Green Bay Packer. I wasn't the only one. I'm not sure when I began to doubt, but I thank someone that it finally happened. I think doubting is good. Especially when you're talking about the world and people. Eventually, you have to believe in something. But don't lap up the very first thing they set in front of you. But that would be my advice. Recently read a book about the moon landings, Paul McCartney, and the Holocaust. Well, might as well throw Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in there as well, because if those things are lies, we might wonder what else is going on around here. Why would the stories we heard about the moon landings, Paul McCartney, and the Holocaust be lies? Why would somebody lie? Well, as Professor James Tracy puts it, modern propaganda techniques utilized by the corporate state to enforce anti-democratic and destructive policies routinely entail the manufacture and manipulation of news events to mold public opinion. And as Edward Bernays put it, engineer consent towards certain ends. You grow up walking around Moon Rock Lake in the 50s and 60s, you pretty much believe everything, everybody. You just do. You see your president on the TV, you pretty much think life is awesome, but then he gets killed. And his brother, too. You grow up going to church, you agree that the whole thing is the real deal, and you decide you want to be a priest. Well, then maybe not so much. You read the Wednesday Miracle, and wow, what would it be like to be part of something like that? The smell of the ink, free donut sometimes, right in on the action. You see Bobby Kennedy come through town, speak at the train station. You think the Democratic Party sits on the right hand of God. Apollo 11 press conference with Armstrong, Aldrin, Collins after they came back from the moon. Have you ever seen that? Well, a long time I've wanted to know the truth to really know it, but I don't. I haven't seen a real inside document, but I've seen glimpses. Cannot imagine the people behind the scenes, those of us who eat at Perkins and call it a big night out. How can we imagine the people who really run the world? We cannot. We get our glimpses by chasing after a piece of paper blowing across the Quick Trip parking lot, thinking it's a winning lottery ticket. Then reading the labored writing in pencil, the secret notes on the back. Thinking the unthinkable about your own government, your own church, your own friends, your own president, even your own space astronauts you've seen on TV while eating a giant, perfectly rounded Jethro bowl heap of strawberry swirl ice cream. But it seems we have to go there. I've done my homework, reading and watching on the internet about the moon, about Paul McCartney, JFK, RFK, MLK, Paul Wellstone, about the Holocaust, Sandy Hook, Boston, Oklahoma City, Waco, Operation Northwoods, all that. And I believe if the news tells us about a bunch of blue suspicious backpacks in Bemidji, the reasonable man, the healthy man, the sane man thinks FBI, CIA, NSA. We think we see all there is to see in the world in our peripheral vision as we watch the Tonight Show on TV. We err by limiting ourselves in that way. There is more. They, whoever they are, have sometimes become bored with playing with us. We seem to not get it. And so they've left us hints to try to make it more interesting. In the movie, The Matrix, did you notice that Neo's passport expires on September 11, 2001? There are also hints placed in The Simpsons, The Big Lebowski, The Lone Gunman, as well as The Dark Knight, where Sandy Hook can be seen in a shot of a map. Sometimes it's hard to keep up. I know, right? Whoever these guys and gals are who are creating this messed up world, they're smart. They're full time. They don't have to work 9 jobs, drop their kids off at daycare at 5 in the morning to make things work. So we have a tough job. But we can do it. A young boy grows up expecting everything and everyone to be good. He figures out that power often trumps good, but he does well not to be a part of all that, to give up on that heart of a young boy too soon. Take my chances with Miles Mathis, Jim Fetzer, James Tracy, Kevin Barrett, Mark Lane, over Brian Williams, Anderson Cooper, Matt Lauer, John Stewart, Bob Woodward, Dan Rather, any day. I believe there is more. And I really want to know. Don't you? When you see these things, there's nothing you should put past the capability of government to do. Whatever it has to do to maintain power, it does. We were so naive back in the old days. We had to learn, I'm afraid, the hard way. That was William Pepper, attorney for Sirhan Sirhan and the King family. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats and journalists are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. If you're not the USSR or the 1960s, this is supposed to be America. Well, that's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about this forever war and this debacle to trial and put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know it. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's somebody's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire, those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know Donald Trump knows the whole truth about 9/11. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continuing with wars everywhere. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Oh, yeah. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into the hole, and no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts, and Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie. The killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope that you will be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com for the new American Dream radio show. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thanks, Chuck, for all you did to make the show happen. Much appreciated. And thanks to our guests, Michael Annis, Karen Katowski, Julius Alifam, Philip Ferruccio, and Frank Cordero. If you'd ever like to contact our guests, you could write to me at nwestiowa@gmail.com, and I will forward any messages you might have, nwestiowa@gmail.com. Please visit our website for the archives, newdream.us, also Penn Magazine, PENN Magazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Mama, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.